All right, here we go. Video on Network, April 10th, 2022. Welcome to the broadcast. Support the network if you can. So, another week has passed. Another continuation of the insanity, the demoralization operations, what people call this fourth generational warfare, where it's like, let's throw every sick, twisted idea at these people and just see what sticks. Let's see how screwed up we can get people. The amount of, just alone with the electronics and millimeter wave, extremely low frequency, all this stuff alone being just lobbed at this predominantly unsuspecting population is just, it's so over the top. It's all coming together. We can all feel it. This crescendo, this apex, this tipping point, the marching people to the edge where they pop. The stuff going on in Shanghai, allegedly, the footage we're being presented, it's all the beginnings of COVID once again. So the first time, the people yelling out of the skyscrapers, this hellish screams and so forth and so on. Now we're being presented with this stuff again, the suicides, the people jumping out of buildings, the pets being brutally beaten to death in these sacks that we're seeing flying around. I mean, tugs at your heartstrings, of course, when you see this stuff. You know, we remember these are the people that do the dog festival over there where they barbecue these dogs alive. I mean, just treat them. And I've talked about this at length to where, you know, that's one of those things that really could send an animal lover off into a rage. And so I can't say what's going on in Shanghai. I'm being presented quite a bit of things in this alternative media of ours, which is infested with operators. Okay? Now, but if, you know, I'm watching a lot of these videos of these people at their wits' end, allegedly. I'm using this term allegedly a lot, just like Jack Blood always has throughout the years, due to the fact that it's so hard to determine what's true and what's not on the other side of the world. Remember all the bodies just dropping dead? Remember at the beginning of the COVID stuff? And heck, I was even playing bits and pieces of, I reread The Stand by Stephen King when this whole thing was unfolding. And, you know, now with the rollout of the vaccines and, well, the genetic sabotage injections, excuse me, the shots, you know, much more deadlier brew of circumstances now that all these people have been getting these shots. Just, you know, this Nelly Korda, 23-year-old Olympic gold medalist, just had to get blood clot surgery. And I'm seeing just on the places I monitor, just all of these athletes, these various kinds of influencers, academics. I see these academics were a lot of them were real pushers of these shots, continuing to die. continuing to have to drop out of sports due to myocarditis, continue to have strokes and blood clots. I mean, it's getting in the stratosphere now. It's, you know, I know a lot of people that have been, that have taken this, these shots, and I'm around them a lot. You know, if you listen to Jeff Rentz and Erica Khan over on the other net, on their network, on Jeff's network, you're just like, they're telling people that they need to be wearing a mask now if they're not shot so they can protect themselves from these spike proteins. Well, are the spike proteins small enough to pass through one of these goofy masks? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not wearing no damn mask. I don't care. I've had a good life, but it's like now people, they went from freaking out the normies, you need a mask. Now you got people in the alternative media saying to all of us, you need a mask now to protect yourself from the traxinated that took the traxine. That's what it really is a traxine. Where to begin? Let Mr. Big, producer, let's get clip 16 ready. And this is just further kind of verification of what a lot of us out here have come to this conclusion a long, long time ago about what is the real bottom line of these things, these injections. And it's okay, democide, depopulation, I get it. But we also have to realize that control and tracking, okay, the ability to manipulate the subject and the ability to track them in real time on many different levels, you know, location, heartbeat, so forth and so on. This, you know, I think there's so many experiments going on at one time that we, a lot of us get lost in the various paths here of how many things they've got going on at once. And then it's like arguing over the minutiae of how 9/11 was done. Was it directed energy weapons a la Judy Wood? Was it the nanothermite a la Christopher Bolin? Was it the micro nukes a la Dr. Jim Fetzer and Gordon Duff and some of these other guys? You know, I bet you it's a hybrid of all these things. I bet you they had nanothermite placed in places. They had micro nukes in the basement, and they tapped that hurricane that was sitting off the coast for a directed energy weapon, and then they did it all. That way they got everybody arguing about it, of how they did it. It was probably a tridentine hit. They used all these things. Now, it's the same thing here. Yeah, we'll depopulate some of them, and then the rest of them, while we slow kill them through other means, we'll have total access to everything they do, location, blah, 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 blah. Okay, maybe even thoughts. Let's start with clip 16. Go ahead and roll up these new patents.
So again, I'm going to begin, and now this is a patent on ferritin nanoparticle compositions and methods to modulate cell activity. The present invention provides methods and compositions for the remote control of cell function based on the use of radio frequency waves to excite nanoparticles targeted to specific cell types. The nanoparticles may be applied to the target cell extracellularly and or expressed intracellularly.
Hold, pause it right there for a second.
The cell
now think about how long ago was I kind of musing about this, the ability possibly to where everybody that has these superstructures, these nano antennas and all the rest of this stuff, these things that have been built in these people. how long ago was I talking about like the Snake Plissken type of scenario where they shot the two things in his carotid arteries and he only had so much time to get the president out of, you know, New York, escape from New York. But think about this. They implanted these nanostructures in all of the unsuspecting victims of these GSIs. And then, like this lady's talking about, these patents that were started in 2018 and then really got finalized in 2020, the ability to manipulate these people down at the cellular and intracellular level to where any time they want to do the death hit on you, they can. Think about that. And probably cause any kind of cancer they want. No, let's just start this massive out-of-control replication in their colon. Oh, this one in their liver. This one in their brain. You see what I mean? Proceed with the clip, Mr. Producer.
And or expressed intracellularly. The cell type of interest expresses a temperature-sensitive channel wherein excitation of the nanoparticles results in a localized temperature increase that is transduced into a cellular response. Such cellular responses may include, for example, increases in gene expressions resulting in production of one or more physiologically active proteins. The expression of such proteins can be used to treat variety of different inherited or acquired diseases or disorders in a subject. Accordingly, the invention provides a generic approach for treatment of any disease associated with a protein deficiency. Now, looking beyond what they're saying there. Now, again, ferritin nanoparticles. Okay, a ferritin is a universal intracellular protein that stores iron and releases it in a controlled fashion. Iron nanoparticles technology is used in environmental remediation and hazardous waste treatment. It is used for treating industrial sites contaminated with chlorinated organic compounds. Now, this is the technology that is being used, not only what this patent is going to be discussing, but in many of the injections that they're calling vaccines. This is what the nanoparticles consist of. Of course, we've all heard of the graphene oxide, but now we're talking about ferritin nanoparticles, which are self-assembling. They self-assemble. So I marked this off in stages here to cover what I'm going to be discussing here with you.
All right, so go ahead. You can stop that one there. But you get the gist of it, okay? So I'm going to give you the patent, okay? September 29, 2020. It is US 10,786,570B, the number 2. So it's 10,786,570 is the patent number, and then B2. Okay, so that's just, and it's 82 pages. Very, very, just, and guess what? Inventors, oh, the applicant, the Rockefeller University, New York, New York. Isn't that nice? And the inventors, Jeffrey Friedman, in, you know, and Sarah Stanley. Kind of interesting, huh? Just throwing that out there. So you've got the patent number. But, you know, Another thing we've got coming our way, and a lot of people been talking about, is this pandemic treaty, okay, that's working its way through the UN, and everybody's already signed on to it. Mr. Producer, if you want to go to clip four, Dr. Tenpenny was on with Alex Jones probably a week and some change ago, and let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of what she's talking about there.
What's really important is for people to understand the horizon. I mean, where are you in your personal life in terms of preparing for what might come? You know, they're talking about setting up this treaty. The United Nations has already passed the first part of the General Assembly of 194 countries signing on to this international treaty to protect against future biological warfare, which, if this goes through, they will have COVID passes for everybody. They will have mandatory vaccines for everybody, which will be hooked to your QR code, and you won't be able to do much without it. You'll barely be able to get food, gasoline, and all these things. And so stopping this treaty that they're trying to get passed at the United Nations to hand over all the sovereignty governments of the world over to the World Health Organization is really a travesty. And you
That's
can
right. Tell folks
that.
About that treaty. I've mentioned it. We should spend more time on it. There is a treaty right now for all governments to give their authority in an emergency to the UN.
Yes, and the UN and the World Health Organization, because they're doing this to keep everyone safe from the next pandemic, because we know there's going to be more of them. Of course there's going to be more. They got the playbook written now. And now that they have written the playbook and everybody fell in line and all masked up and social distanced and got their Q-tips up their nose and got tested repeatedly over and over and over again, and many of people have gotten this injection, gotten this gene therapy, gene-altering, life-altering shot that has thousands and thousands of people that have died and millions of people that have become chronically sick. You know, they just all kind of rolled over and did it. So now that they've got everybody in the position of where they are, they're going to do it again and again and again. And if this treaty passes, and for those that don't really understand treaties, I mean, treaties supersede individual government law. So if the U.S. has a treaty with any other country in the world, the things that they sign on to and pass by two-thirds of our Congress, they are supposedly have to pass using our Congress.
And again, Doc, you have that in front of you, because I saw the U.N. treaty a month ago. I covered it once or twice, but I don't have the name of it. What's the particular? We need to put that on screen so folks know how real this is.
Gosh, I'll have to look for it, Alex.
There it is. WHO quietly pushes for global pandemic treaty that gives organization precedence over participating nations during pandemics. Print it. We'll have it next segment. I just want to give people that.
You can go ahead and stop that one there. And then move on to the next one, clip five, if you would. Now, this is Dr. Tenpenny. I was listening to, you know, I scroll through Hagman stuff and see what happens. Like a lot of times on Saturday, I'll try to catch up on some of these ones that I don't really monitor during the week, because I only got so many hours in a day and trying to work and blah 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 blah. You only get to expose yourself to so much when you're trying to keep a lot of irons in the fire when it is keeping up on all this stuff. But this was pretty good. This was earlier in the week as well. Let's listen to a little bit of this one. Go ahead and roll number five.
I just think it's one more step in exposing all the fraud, the greed, the nefariousness of global governance. And as they are wanting to push through this UN charter that they want to push through on to get all the members of the General Council to sign, they've already gone through phase one, and they've all agreed that they're going to move forward because we want everybody in lockstep with, in case there's another pandemic, which there will be, wink, wink, is the way that they say it, that they really want to have all the countries in the world that are part, there's 194 countries that are part of the General Council, and they want to have everybody sign this treaty, and this international treaty will supersede all country law and all countries' constitutions, which means we will have one world government put up underneath the United Nations, and who will be in charge of that will be the World Health Organization. And, you know, I don't know if you've done an interview with Paul Alexander on your show or not.
Not yet.
But Dr. Paul Alexander, he's just such a hero. And, you know, I did a podcast interview with him on the Tenpenny Files, which is the name of my podcast, and it's for our premium members. And when I got to the day that I did the interview with him, the day that I did the interview with him was the day that they were voting on this treaty. And so I was reading to him a couple of lines of what they were talking about, what this treaty was going to be about. And it will be put under the umbrella of the United Nations, but it will be in charge. Who will be in charge of it will be the World Health Organization. And he just shook his head and he said, "You've got to be kidding me." He said, "That organization needs to be completely dismantled." He said, "If it was a house, you need to strip it to the stud beams in the wall and start over again of rebuilding it, because it's just a good old boys club. Nobody there is there because of their merit or their ability to do great science." And he said, "You know, when I was growing up and I went to university and was working on my PhD," he said, "you know, as an epidemiologist, you just think that the pinnacle of your career is going to be working at the World Health Organization." And Dr. Paul Alexander, he said, "I worked at the World Health Organization." He said it was, for all intents and purposes, kind of a joke. He said, "Nobody there," he said, "the science, nobody knows anything about science. They're not even there doing that." And to put world governance and world control underneath the World Health Organization, he said, "I can't think of anything more disastrous."
Man.
And so this is where we're going. And it's biblical, Doug. You know, it's biblical. You know, we're going towards one world order, one world government, one world religion. You know, all things are pointing towards the end times of that. We're looking at what's happening with the resurgence of the Babylonian mystery schools. We know that the quantum computers and the quantum entanglement that's involved with the artificial intelligence is the modern day Tower of Babel. And that this is where this, you know, we're heading towards all of this in real time. I mean, those that are, you know, biblical students, you don't even have to be a scholar, but a biblical student will understand when you look at the end times prophecies where we're headed. Now, only, you know, Jesus himself said, only God knows when I'm coming back. Only the Father in heaven, not even me, but you will know by the signs when the time draws near. And I'm sure that there have been points in time in history where people have said, "Whoa, this looks like end times." But this is the first time ever that the entire world, all 194 countries, have all been infiltrated by the quantum entanglement in the World Health Organization. The World Economic Forum and all of all the different things that they stand for and nefariously represent has been infiltrated at all levels of all things, whether it be government, whether it be multinational corporations, whether it be into the school districts and down into our county levels through like ICLEI, that's, you know, the United Nations representatives in our own backyard doing all of the stuff with sustainability agendas that have just been working their way into the fabric of every part of the world. So here we are, the first time ever since, like, back in the days in Genesis 6, when it was in Genesis 12, where they developed the Tower of Babel. And, you know, God came down and said, "Whoa, all of these people in this one place, and they're all speaking the same language, and what they could create, this is a problem. We need to disperse this." Well, here we are, all in one place, all under artificial intelligence, hooking us up through injections to the global Internet of Things, the global social credit scores, wanting to tie our money into it, be able to monitor our carbon footprint based on our purchases. And if our carbon footprint in a given month is too high, then they'll shut off. You won't be able to buy anything else because you need to be punished because you're not doing sustainability things, and on and on and on. I mean, it's all right here. It sounds like the weirdest science fiction movie you could ever imagine, but it's happening. It's not out in the future somewhere. It's happening right now in real time. And here we are with the quantum entanglement that happens as soon as anyone gets one of these shots. And the question always comes up, "Wow, now that I know what I know, how do I get this shot of my body?" And at this point in time, I'm sorry to say, there isn't anything. You can get healthier. You can detox your system. You can make your liver, kidneys, lungs, heart healthier. You can do all kinds of things to improve your immune system. But once you've been injected, you can't uninject. And the little particles, the little nanobot particles that assemble, disassemble, and reassemble inside of your system from these shots. And each additional booster that you get will just make it worse. I guess you were warned. People were warned, and they didn't heed the warning. And so, you know, now to me, it's like getting your life right with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and saying, wow, I made a really bad mistake with my body. I don't want to make that mistake with my soul. Lord, please forgive me that I fell to the demons of fear. I fell and kneeled to the pharmakia. I chose to do something to assuage my fear rather than taking my fear to the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, take this demon of fear out of me. Get it out of my body. I don't want to be fearful. The Bible says more than 300 times, fear not. So if God repeats himself that many times, it's probably important.
I
feared about my job. I feared about not seeing my grandkids. I wanted to do it for convenience because I had to go on that cruise, of course. There.
And she was talking about the credit score. Huli sent me a picture, and it says the people who are $30 trillion in debt are giving you a credit score. To let that kind of sink in, how silly that is. But you know. How long have we been talking about the Internet of Things, Internet of Bodies, and a lot of people are in this, the whole thing with this quantum entanglement stuff is just off the charts insane. But the sophistication here that we're dealing with and the very clear possibility of the predominantly weak-minded being able to be basically remote controlled is a daunting supposition that we all have to really, really, I mean, deal with here. I mean, how long have I been talking, and so many others been talking about idiocracy, but now you've plugged the idiocracy into a hive mind kind of control matrix to where who knows how many thoughts of some of these folks might be their own. You know, you've always got the supernatural here, God, the creator of all things, and how far he will let these evil scientists, you know, push into the fortress of the human soul. This is one of these mysteries right now that I kind of ponder on is, okay, how far will God let this go before this massive intervention? And we're about to see. It really, really feels like any time now that the next shoe could drop and we'll be off into the next level of this whole plan unfolding. All right, see you guys on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now I'm going to get into something that's been around for a good 30, 40 years here. Okay, and this is an article from Tex Mars from 2001. Okay, so good 21-year-old article, but it's based on a 1986 New Age journal called the Whole Earth Review. 1986, okay? So that is 36 years ago this year. It's kind of an interesting number there. So, but I'm going to read this. It's a couple short articles, but I've talked about this in the past. These two competing kind of visions, where I've called, according to like this article, Amarus, and then you've got Chimerica. Okay, now as we see the Russians and the Chinese are apparently at this point kind of coalescing together and trying to form this multipolar buttress against what people are calling now NATO Stan. And I've got an article on Zero Hedge where it's talking about NATO Stan because, you know, they're behaving like with the, some of the goofy stuff they're doing with trying to seize people's yachts and private property and all this just to, due to the fact that they're a citizen from – I mean, it's just so over the top. It's so pathetic. It makes us look so buffoonish and just – like the biggest bunch of scumbag hypocrites ever. Oh, America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But the FBI is going to run to Italy and go seize somebody's yacht from another country. I mean, give me a break. Anybody that would follow that order, you guys in the FBI, to follow the scumbag like Merrick Garland, this Jew Bolshevik mobster. Oh, he got some little COVID too, and then he got a positive COVID test. Oh, every Democrat of any kind of stature in the last 2 weeks has come down with a positive COVID test. Isn't that funny? Now Fauci says, "Oh, you might have to wear a mask again." But anyway, get back to. I don't want to get off on a, you know, a path here. But this is Tex Mars out of his magazine, Power of Prophecy, TexMars.com, February of 2001. The Illuminati plot to merge the United States and Russia, Amarus. And it's got two pictures of American flags, but instead of the stars in the blue patch there, it's a hammer and sickle. Okay, so let's just kind of let's humor each other for a moment. The world's atlas and its geography is about to make a dramatic change. The communist colossus, once known as the Soviet Union and made up of Russia and its captive republics, is to be united with the late great United States of America. From an organic joining of the two will come a wholly brand new nation state to be called Amarus. A long-cherished goal of the Illuminati is soon to be realized. The merger of the desperately ill and corrupt Soviet Empire with the new 21st century America and America communist and economic and political thought and Luciferian atheist in its religious practice. From the burning ashes of abandoned freedom and liberty, faded liberty shall arise the great satanic phoenix of the ages, Amarus. Now, this was written 21 years ago, so it looked like America was this new 21st century America, strong, blah, 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 blah. But think about this now. America's becoming this $30 trillion. Everybody's pulling away from the dollar. Desperate, goofy idiocracy. A real joke on the world stage. Now, it's almost like now we need Russia. What's interesting, he starts going to talk about Siberia and all this stuff, which is we know where all this wealth, you know, this alleged $75 trillion worth of wealth is. Remember Trump talking about buying Greenland? Mm-hmm. But back to the article. A long-cherished goal. I've already read that. Incredible scheme of the Illuminati. No doubt this is the first time most of you have ever heard of the incredible scheme of the Illuminati to merge America and Russia. And let me go off for a second again. Remember the help that the Tsar of Russia really allegedly gave the fledgling United States during the Revolutionary War and so forth, and during Lincoln, the Civil War. Okay, so there's this, you know, historical precedent that the Russians helped America in her time of need a couple times already. Okay. So in 1972, I first wrote about it in a paper entitled, "Will the Soviet Union Survive Until 1984? I stated flatly that the Soviet monstrosity was doomed, that certain forces would see to the fall of the corrupt and inefficient regime in Moscow, and that the shape of a future Russia would be according to the dictates of the hidden rulers in the West. At the time, the American intelligence community had deceitfully attempted to make the Soviet Union appear to be an economic, political giant, even a superpower threat. But my research proved otherwise. I was convinced that the Illuminati had already achieved its Soviet goals. Russia and its peoples were not giants, but dwarfs, beaten and stomped into the ground. Communist overlords had punished that once wealthy but now desperate country and brought it to almost total ruin. Russia, whose czars had stubbornly refused to bow down to the global Masonic Illuminati chiefs, was defeated and spoiled. So too was Germany. Now, only one nation on earth prevented the Illuminati from setting up its Antichrist kingdom, the United States of America. How to conquer America? How to conquer America? That is the question that had long befuddled the Illuminati elite, but in the year 1944, they came up with an ingenious answer. To conquer America, it would be necessary to do two things. One, first, quietly and slowly inculcate and integrate communist ideals and practices in our society to transform the USA into a socialist paradise. Second, after conditioning the American people to peacefully accept socialism under the guise of big government patriotism, the coup de grace would be administered. The United States would politically, economically, and culturally merge with the Soviet Union. Amerus would become the new grand reality, a synthesis nation created out of the Hegelian dialectic of communism versus capitalism. Amerus was to become a geopolitical Frankenstein, an impoverished and conquered clay and iron mixed colossus made up of quivering multitudes of unthinking, moldable citizens taught to love and admire Big Brother and his decadent ways and to hate and despise the truth. The face of George Washington is to be morphed with that of Lenin. Now think about these Nazi Bolsheviks running around, Alexander Dugin and Matt Heimbach and all these people that were in these kind of pro-white circles over the last few decades, now becoming complete Russophiles, complete Putin worshipers, okay? Now you can kind of see how this could happen under the guise of our kind of patriot right-wingers and even our more or less kind of white militants, so forth and so on. At the same time, they've got some of these characters already in the Ukraine here that are buddied up with the Khazar Mafia, okay, as long as these pro-white, so-called neo-Nazi Azov Svoboda-type characters in the Ukraine, as long as they don't diss the Jews, I guess they're allowed to exist, and they let the Jews escape and make aliyah to Israel. And I've got articles up on that right now where Israel's just welcoming all these Ukrainian Jews into, you know, Israel, which will, you know, bolster their Khazar Jewish population and so forth and so on. Okay. So in 1986, the popular New Age journal Whole Earth Review proposed that Russia and America be joined and made a single nation to be named Amerus. Editor Kevin Kelly wrote, "At first glance, the idea of melding America and Russia seems preposterous, but the concept of Amerus is a work in progress." Please note the significance of what Kelly meant when he wrote that the merger of Russia and America is a work in progress. In that same edition of Whole Earth Review, writer Robert Fuller gave us a peek at what is going on behind the scenes when he wrote, "Could the leaders, let alone the people of the United States, ever be brought to entertain such a plan? In grappling with this question, one's thoughts turn conspiratorial. Should everything be arranged in secret and then foisted upon an unsuspecting world?" Think about MMA right now and Khabib Nurmagomedov, the big winner last night, Khamzat Chimaev, all these Chechens, Dagestanis, which are all part of the Russian sphere, all these Russian fighters, real stars in the MMA world. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You're seeing kind of some of these. MMA is a huge, huge social engineering tool, which is very fascinating as a, you know, let's say an amateur anthropologist such as you or I when we were able to analyze this stuff. But anyway, back to the article. Did you catch those key words and phrases? Conspiratorial, arranged in secret, foisted on an unsuspecting world. Amazingly, Fuller goes on to remark that perhaps these two countries, Russia and America, have already devised plans to do just this. Then World Policy Journal, fall, winter 1992, Walter Russell Mead, a senior counselor at the World Policy Institute, an ultra-liberal globalism think tank affiliated with New York City's socialist-oriented New School for Social Research, for the first time set forth publicly the Brotherhood's detailed plan to accomplish this grotesque objective. The first step would be for the USA to buy Siberia, Russia's largest province. More stars in our flag. In an article entitled More Stars in Our Flag, A Modest Proposal for U.S. Policy After the Cold War, Mead wrote that the cure to Russia's growing economic crisis and to America's social and political problems had an easy answer. The answer is really very simple. Simply put, the United States should buy Siberia from Russia at a fair price, perhaps in the range of $2 or $3 trillion. All the inhabitants would become American citizens with all the rights and privileges the rest of us enjoy. Okay. Center for Soviet American Dialogue. Okay. So there was a USSR citizen summit held in Alexandria, Virginia in February 1988. According to the NRI Trumpet newsletter, the summit's purpose was to promote the uniting of the two nations into one joint superpower. What Mead called a modest proposal is in reality a monumental and disingenuous plot to enlarge America and inject a dose of Asiatic Soviet communist culture that would radically and forever change our nation into a subservient and docile globalist entity. It would also mean that citizens of today's 50 U.S. states will be forced to redistribute our wealth and income, giving it away to fund projects into the new added territories. Environmentalism would especially get an economic shot in the arm, Mead suggested. The United States will begin a massive program of infrastructure development and environmental cleanup in the Siberian region. Large areas will be set aside as parks and nature reserves. Existing facilities would be upgraded to meet environmental standards. And now I'm reading this, folks. Doesn't mean that I think this is still accurate, but there are aspects of it that are worth kind of reviewing and revisiting. A good investment. But wait, Mead isn't finished. He next uses the old slick Willie Clinton sales technique on us. Despite the high cost, he purrs, Siberia would be a good investment for the United States government. Going into debt to buy Siberia is not stealing from future generations. It is investing for them. Well, see, these guys probably knew that there was massive wealth in Siberia. And so to try to get it from the Russians at that weak point in their, at that epoch in their history, that might have been something for desirous of us to do. Now, do you think that's going to happen now? The rubles allegedly pegged to gold. It's going way up. You know, everybody's really moving or about to dump the dollar. People are really, really talking about this a lot and what it's going to do to the standard of living here. And we're all going to be a bunch of paupers on the continent that our forefathers conquered, as Jefferson said. Isn't this nice? Get it? It's not really taxing. The spending $2 or $3 trillion we pay for Russia's Siberia will merely be an investment. But an investment for whom? Who will prosper from this sick but slick proposal to merge most of Russia and its barren lands to the USA? Well, says Mead, this largesse of trillions of dollars will be a wonderful boon and a bonanza for Russia. Moscow will be finally set up financially. America could he suggest, pay the Ruskies, say, $200 billion annually on the trillions of dollars of our new indebtedness. No more economic problems for Russia. Presto. All is well again with Russia, although the KGB and the pro-Illuminati boys would still be in charge. Now, this is probably a bunch of these people writing these articles were a bunch of fronts for some of these plunderers that moved in and did a lot of damage to the Russians. And then some people lionize Putin and say, oh, he tossed out all these oligarchs and he's a strict nationalist now and he's not beholden to the kosher mafia, the money changers and all that. Yeah, this will all remain to be seen. But anyway, we're going to move on to the second article. Okay, so I pretty much summed that one up. Okay, now this one is Amoruz 2, World War III, and the plot to merge the United States and Russia. Okay, so I must, however, credit the brave and courageous Norman Dodd, now deceased, for first exposing the conspirators' goal of merging Russia and America. In 1952, Congress set up a select committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations. Chief investigator and director was Mr. Norman Dodd of the U.S. House of Representatives. In pursuing his investigation, Mr. Dodd was invited to privately meet with Mr. Rowan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, a premier leftist organization active in funding communist-oriented causes and strongly supported by liberals in Congress and the media. During this visit, Ford's Mr. Gaither voluntarily made a stunning admission. He stated, "Mr. Dodd, we operate here at the Ford Foundation under directives which emanate from the White House. We operate and control our grant-making policies as follows. We shall use our grant-making power so as to alter life in the United States that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union, a global Zionist superstate. What the Illuminati hope to achieve is a regional grouping of nations to be called Amoruz. The grouping would combine the nations of the old Soviet Empire with those of the Americas. Eventually, Amoruz would be united with Europe, with Africa and the Asian axis, China, Japan, India, and all to be ruled as component parts of a great global unscriptural Zionist superstate with its capital in the earthly Jerusalem. It should be noted that in Bible prophecy, God identifies the earthly Jerusalem spiritually as the wicked latter-day city Sodom in Egypt, Revelation 11. Sadly, until Christ returns, the deceived Jews and their Antichrist king will, as prophesied, temporarily hold the reins of world power. After the great tribulation, our God will exalt the heavenly city of Jerusalem. Zion shall be established with Jesus as king. Till that glorious day, however, the Christian must remember always the rallying cry, no Zion without a true king and no king but King Jesus. A Frankenstein global system, the reigning planetary economic and political structure to come would be global fascism, a Hegelian combination of capitalism and communism / socialism. Under global fascism, the only acceptable world religion would become occultic Jewish Kabbalism, including its subsidiary elements, Hinduism, New Ageism, ecumenism, and I would just add probably some sort of kosher Chrislam. Okay, and we see the Vatican and some of the corrupt elements of mostly Sunni Islam on this Chrislam path. The first step in creating this end-time monolithic Frankenstein global system is a ending of national sovereignties. Thus, the U.S. is to be quietly terminated as a separate constitutional entity. That process has been ongoing for some time now. America is eventually to be merged with the defeated and plundered Russia and its former republics to create a wholly new joint entity called Amoruz. As globalist Bob Fuller explained with verbal ecstasy in his article in the Whole Earth Review, what if somehow a single sovereignty could be established on Earth with Russia and America merged into one nation? Let's call it Amoruz, so much stronger than any other nation or any other alliance of nations. A way through the elimination of all national sovereignties could be envisioned. Once the invincibility and dominance of Amoruz were established, the other nations might be persuaded to disarm and join a world government. And, you know, I've got articles and I hope I can kind of keep this in order, but people talking about China moving on Taiwan very, very soon. And to see how Russia will be, you know, view that. And remember, Putin and this Uranium One stuff and all this back channel stuff going on with Obama and Hillary and Putin. You know, it's just interesting. And now you've got like this underground kind of alternative media, Putin worship all over the place, lionizing him and blah, blah, blah. And look, you know, if we've got these 300 and some odd bioweapons labs and 20 some of them were in the Ukraine and they were doing a lot of crazy stuff, you know, you can't blame Putin for moving in and doing this. And if for the last 8 years, They were using, the Ukrainians were using American weaponry and so forth to bomb these people in the Donbas, killing thousands of them. You know, you can't say that to strike back at the Ukraine was unjustified. At the same time, you know, there's all this stuff about human trafficking out of the Ukraine. A lot of Ukrainian women worldwide have been trafficked into all this prostitution and all this sex slavery and all this strange stuff. But back to the article, Jewish Mafia Rise in Russia. Following the 1980s fall of the old Soviet communist regime, the Illuminati appointed Russian leader Boris Yeltsin to oversee the transfer of all Soviet wealth, including its gold and cash reserves, to chosen Jewish mafia leaders inside the restructured Soviet Union. Under a controlled process of privatization, Russia's enormous stores of natural resources, oil, gas, zinc, iron ore, chromium, diamonds, etc., in Siberia and elsewhere were turned over to the Jewish mafia. The Jewish mafia in Russia, in turn, answered to the Illuminati overlords in the United States and Canada and Israel and in Europe and South and Central America, blah, 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 blah. World War III envisioned. The privatization process of plundering Soviet wealth having been achieved, now the next step is ready for accomplishment. That would be the pretext needed to cause the American people to dumbly follow the future cry of the media and the American leaders in Washington, D.C. to merge the USA and Russia and thus create a new nation of Amarus. It would take a monumental crisis like a world war to accomplish this. Watch, therefore, for things in the Middle East to become explosive and of deadly world war dimensions. Any claims of peace will be temporary in transit, okay? To initiate the conflict, the Illuminati will probably have a combined U.S.-Israeli secret Delta military force blow up the Dome of the Rock, Muslim mosque that sits atop the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Funny, there's a lot of stuff going on over there in Israel with the Palestinians now, and Joseph's tomb allegedly just being attacked, and very, very fascinating. Okay? We'll see you on the other side of the break. Day or night. Duty calls, I'm rolling on. And it's no place you wanna go. You see, I'm not like all the rest. Some may question my line of work. But I've got a family, and I feed them all the death. There's some work all over this town. You need the stomach full. There's some folks who pay my way for skills I'm knowing for.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.